Blog Talk Radio.
Game Centric Radio. GZR.
Welcome to another edition of Game Centric Radio. We're springing ahead and talking about a preview of games we'll see during spring, summer, and maybe even sneaking into fall a little bit. I'm Jade Greenberg.
And I'm Donnie Greenberg.
And tonight we are going to explore the many, many games in front of us. We're also going to hear from Scott Dyer, who has one of his patent-pending impromptu game reviews ready for us, along with a preview of a really cool event he'll be checking out soon. So where should we start?
I don't know. Where should we start? Probably at the beginning.
Do you wanna jump in first, or do you want me to?
Well, my list is very short, so if you'd like me to jump in and finish it off pretty quickly, then
okay.
I can. Alright, there's only a couple of games I'm looking forward to. And those games are Mighty No. 9, coming out probably this fall. And a game that is already out, known as Bloodborne, but I don't have a PS4, so I'll have to look forward to it.
Forward, I like that.
Yeah. So Bloodborne is the next game from the developers from FromSoft. Of course, famous for making Demon Souls, Dark Souls, the notoriously hard game, the tagline, Prepare to Die Edition. They make hard games. But the thing is, they're not hard, they're just actual games. They brought things back to not being QuickTime events, and instead of pulling off that really cool thing by hitting a button at the right time, you have to hit a button combination to do that really cool thing. And Bloodborne takes place in a very Victorian, London-esque place. There is clearly a plague going on. Because this plague is turning people into beasts. And depending on your particular use of blood, kind of determines what kind of beast that you will end up being. So, clerics of the Healing Church will be slightly larger beasts. Hunters, you tame their form, but they. And I'm really looking forward to this game because it looks like a lot of fun. Plus, it's kind of like Dark Souls with a gun. Next, we have Mighty No. 9, the spiritual successor to Mega Man. He left Capcom, and he's like, Kickstarter, guys. We've been talking about this for years now, but he is a perfectionist, literally perfectionist. And the game is supposed to be coming out fall of 2015. I have played the demo. The demo is a lot of fun. It's very reminiscent of Mega Man X. But with even more. And I don't know how this man keeps evolving this genre of gameplay. He keeps taking a 2D shooting side-scroller and keeps evolving it above and beyond and keeps going. And like there was a brief foray into 3D, which I don't think he had any part of for the next series. But the 2.5D is what we like to call it. When the game is 3D but 2D. Or 2D with 3D aspects, like they a foreground and a background. And I cannot wait for Mighty No. 9. It will probably be at least 20 to 25 hours. Easy, as soon as I get it. And I did learn about this game today. I don't know much about it, but I know that they put it out to give the little finger to EA and SimCity. Because I don't know if you remember, Jade, we talked about the SimCity debacle.
Yeah.
When it came out. Well, they made a game called City Skylines, and it is actually a city sim that has evolved so much. But the original SimCity did.
Uh-huh.
that they now are kind of the staple. And the community will literally keep this alive. Because you can mod it forever. And the community will probably keep this game alive for at least the next 5 to 10 years. But that's out now too. So most of my games are either out and I don't have access to them, or they won't be here till fall. I am not looking forward to a lot of the summer games. I mean, I would like to play some of FC Type Zero, but to be honest, I have not looked at it even a little bit.
With the City Builder, is one of the things I liked about the older Sims games is how much you could customize individual characters. So is there still...
You can customize the characters, but this is more focused on the city.
Okay.
So you could go to a character that is already existing in the world and then name it. And then you can kind of follow them around if you'd like, but you don't really have control over the people, just the city.
Okay.
And I'm not looking forward to a whole lot. Most of the games I'm looking forward to, like, I'm already playing Animal Crossing. I'm already playing Pokemon. I already have the D&D next book. I'm looking forward to playing it.
Have you talked about the new Pokemon on the show?
The new Pokemon is just a remake of the old game. So it's a little bit of... And the new Pokemon isn't new. It's practically old news at this point.
Which one? What are the names? What's the
Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby?
Okay. Well, for those of us who don't Pokemon,
but for, like, I'm not. There's no way I can deliver any news. Like, the end of the game, the new content that was added was found the day that the game released.
Okay.
Literally the day the game released, and I got it 2 months after.
I know, one of the games I'm really looking forward to, admittedly, is not until fall, but I'm listing it because I'm really eager to see what they do with it, and that is Halo 5 Guardians. I'm so in love. Oh, I think he was a graduate student. yeah, but I didn't there's been a lot of Halo games that I haven't been quite interested in, and it looks like this one's going to really have a lot of story to it.
No, I have not been interested in the Halo, but I saw trailers for this. During The Walking Dead, actually, the season finale of The Walking Dead, that actually made me super interested. Because I know there's a plot. I know the plot has been very action-y. But this time it seems like, was Master Chief doing the right thing? Or did he fuck up everything for everyone? And there's our bumper of the episode!
Yeah, no, like, the fact that this is kind of a departure from what they've been doing, and the focus on, like, it's been very, like, them versus us. They teamed up against a bigger force.
Yeah.
And now this is when it gets into man versus himself. Like, what were these the right choices and stuff?
So you're going to be able to take the control of Master Chief or the Spartan something. I don't know the lore. I just know that you're looking at that banner. You play as those two guys.
And, I mean, I'm really curious as to some of what they'll do with it and what they'll do with the story. And I mean, I was like hardcore, like in Halo for the mode for a very long time.
I love people.
Like this one, I'm actually really care about the story, so I think that's cool. Is why there will be more.
The work's really hurt on it. It's been almost 2 years in continual development.
It's definitely it's set 1 year after Batman Arkham City. And the Scarecrow shows up early on. Obviously it comes out of Rocksteady Studios, we know that. It's one of those games that I wish had like a versus mode, because that would be really cool to be able to do like Batman versus enemies. But it's one. It's going to be out for computer. It's going to be out for PS4, Xbox One, and it as well as even Linux. It introduces
technical difficulties. Please stay with us. Game Centric Radio.
Sorry about the technical difficulties. So we were talking about Batman, specifically Arkham Knight. One of the aside from all the car stuff, we're going to see Barbara Gordon as Oracle.
Following the comic.
Technical difficulties, please.
Hey guys, this is Scott Dyer for Game Centric Radio, coming to you with another impromptu game review. And this week, I'm going to do a review on Borderlands, the Handsome Collection. Borderlands, the Handsome Collection, is currently for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And this will represent a quick review of this new collection, as we at Game Centric Radio have done a review of Borderlands 2. And if you are interested in watching it, I highly encourage you that you look for it in our archives. Borderlands, the Handsome Collection, represents the culmination of Borderlands 2 and Borderlands, the pre-sequel. So if you're looking for a game that is not only one game, but also another game as well, to give you the full, complete story of the Borderlands 2 story arc, if you will, then look no further than the Handsome Collection. Not only does this wonderful collection include both games, but also it includes all the DLC included to date. That's right, this game, for one package, you get, not only do you get two games, but you also get every single piece of DLC that Borderlands 2 has come out for all time, and all the DLC that the pre-sequel has come out with and will probably come out with in the future. So if you get this collection, you are guaranteed to get the complete everything for both of these games. So for me, being the value shopper that I am, I already see this as a great value right out of the box. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the Borderlands series, I'll give you a quick rundown right now. Borderlands can be quickly summarized as a looter-shooter type game, in that it is a cooperative MMO-ish type shooter, first-person shooter type game whereby you go through various missions, you play through a very radically awesome, very stylized, very hilarious storyline, and you collect all of the loots. That's right, this game is based upon the pretense that you want the guns, you want all of the guns, and you want as many guns as you can get. Borderlands does not disappoint with the amount of loot that you can get in terms of weaponry, class modifications, and everything in between. Each of these games features a wide variety of class options, different types of characters you can play as, and it really does keep the game fresh because of the story itself. I found the story of the series to be very entertaining. It kept me wanting to play more and more to reveal more of the storyline, and the characters you meet along the way have their own character, if you will. Very interesting, and they kept me wanting to play the game more and more. What this collection also brings to the table is the fact that this is now a PS4 and Xbox One release. This is now a next-generation release. Therefore, the graphics are going to be updated for these new consoles. And after playing this, coming from PS3, I used to have Borderlands 2 for the PS3, and then I bought the Handsome Collection myself. So this reveal will also be a sort of quick comparison between the two versions. I can't comment too much on the pre-sequel, as I've not played the pre-sequel for the PS3. I've only played it on the Handsome Collection, but I'll give you a quick comparison of Borderlands 2 between both consoles. I'll say this, that the graphics on the Handsome Collection are a lot cleaner, a lot crisper, as they've been updated and modified for the PS4 system. The game also plays at 60 frames per second. And this is, for those of you who have played Borderlands on the PC, are probably like, yeah, whatever, I do this all the time. But for PS3 going to PS4, this is a big deal, because the game plays smoother, quicker, and the game reacts and responds a lot faster as well. It's a lot smoother, the action is a lot quicker now, and those extra frames really make a difference when you're playing this game. I probably can't go back to playing PS3 again with this game. It's just, the difference between the thing is astounding, and they've done a great job updating the graphics, the textures, and adding those really cool effects that you can only get on the next generation consoles. With that said, I'm sure a lot of you are thinking, I used to play this game on the PS3. Do I have to start over? And my answer to you is no, you do not, because Borderlands the Handsome Collection does support cross-save functionality, and this is on both platforms. There's a little bit of a catch with the Xbox platforms from what I hear, but for PS owners, you are guaranteed the ability to take your characters from PS3 and throw them into your PS4 version of the game. Not only that, but you can also go back and forth. So you can go from PS4 back to PS3, should you decide to want to. And of course, if you've been playing Borderlands 2 for the PS Vita, you can transfer that as well. Xbox One, from what I've been told, if you've played on the Xbox 360, it's only a one-way connection to your Xbox One system. You can't go back to Xbox 360. That's what I've been told, that's what I've kind of read, but if you find out differently, please feel free to correct us and send that into our show. However, for those of us who have the PlayStation, are gifted with the ability to take your game quite literally anywhere. And this is a very nice feature, because if you've been playing the PS3 and you want to get that upgrade, you don't have to miss a beat. With that said, the Handsome Collection by itself, for me personally, provided a fresh, clean start to the game, because I've been playing Destiny quite a bit. I haven't really been playing too many other games at the moment, but since I've slowed down in my Destiny playing, I've been able to re-look at this game and sort of look at it again with a fresh start. And I gotta tell you, starting over with a clean slate is kind of gratifying. I myself am playing the Assassin Zero, and I'm playing a melee-type build. So for those of you who are in the know and know what that is, it's a very interesting build. So that's kind of what I'm going through right now. And I've been very happy playing through the game again, because it adds this sort of nostalgic factor, because this game has been out for a while. This is not a new game by any means of a stretch of the imagination. It's reinvented, updated, and refreshed, if you will, for those of us who have been playing on the console. Again, if you've been playing this game on the PC, you're not going to get as much out of it. But if you've been playing on the PS3 and you're looking for that next-gen upgrade, looking for some new games for your next-gen console, then look no further than Borderlands The Handsome Collection. This game does not disappoint with the storyline, the amount of stuff you can get, and just the game itself is very fun to play. I myself am not a big fan of first-person shooters. If you've heard me on the show before, you know that first-person shooters are very much a guilty pleasure of mine. I'm not the greatest at them. I prefer RPGs and strategy-type games myself. That's just the games I play. So every now and again, I find a first-person shooter, and I kind of latch onto it because I'm like, oh, this is not one that will kick my butt and make me want to not play this anymore. Borderlands provided enough of a mix of action, first-person player action, and role-playing elements to keep me interested. So if you're kind of on the fence and you're thinking, well, should I get this for my next-gen console? I think it's a great buy simply because you're getting two games for one price. If you're in the United States, you're looking at a $60 price point for two games, two full complete games, and a ton, probably a literal metric ton of DLC for both of these games, all included, all on disc, just for you to have for one low, low price. So if you're looking for like a game that just gives you a very good value for your buck, this is a very good game for that. I will say I have played a little bit of the pre-sequel. The pre-sequel storyline is not disappointing either. However, I have heard things that there has been some few changes in here and that make it less than desirable for people who have played Borderlands 2 and want to play the pre-sequel. However, what I've played so far has been very good, and it makes me want to play more. I'm excited to finish that up and see where that takes me. But for me, my main game out of the two games that I really like has been Borderlands 2, and I've been thoroughly enjoying both of those games. And like I said, too, it's a really good value. So if you've been playing on the PS3, you want to transfer your character over to PS4. Same diff if you're on Xbox 360, you want to go to Xbox One. There's no loss to it. I mean, if you want to see this game at 60 FPS, the upgraded textures and graphics, I think it's a very good advancement on the game. It's very clean. It has a very nice presentation to it now. And it just plays really, really nicely. And I look forward to continuing to play this game. And, of course, now with the Handsome Collection, another really cool feature is they have four-player couch co-op. So now you could play four players sitting in one room. I have not done that yet. However, I have three other friends who are really wanting to try it. So we may do a quick impromptu follow-up with this just to give you guys a look-see at how that actually functions. Now, I will say, technically-wise, if you're going to play couch co-op, it only reduces it, it reduces it down to 30 frames per second. So you are going to see a little bit of a slowdown between the two versions. However, you get to play four people at the same time. So that by itself should be pretty amazing. So with that said, final recommendation, I'd say this is a great value game. If you're looking for more games for your PS4, I'd say pick this up. This is sort of a no-brainer purchase. If you are a PS3 owner and you've played this game and you have a PS4 and you're looking to update or upgrade your Borderlands experience, this is a great game for you. You don't have to rebuy any of the DLC because it's already included. But it's just kind of a win-win situation if you really are a good Borderlands fan. PC owners, you're probably going to want to step aside on this one because, well, Steam, you're going to get this game super cheap anyway. And not only that, but of course, PC is the superior console. So, with that said, this has been an impromptu game review of Borderlands, the Handsome Collection, for PS4 and Xbox One. And this has been Scott Dyer for Games Hunting Radio, signing off. Before I go, I just want to throw out a quick promo for the Midwest Gaming Classic, which will actually be featuring this weekend in the Milwaukee metro area. My Milwaukee friends, if you're interested in experiencing retro gaming at its finest, I would highly encourage you check out the Midwest Gaming Classic, which will be at the Sheraton Milwaukee Brookfield Hotel this weekend, April 11th and 12th. If you do make it, you'll be able to see me there covering the event as press. We'll be covering the event in totality with photography and video. That's right, you heard it right here, folks. We are going to be launching a YouTube channel pretty soon, and we're going to use the Midwest Gaming Classic as our launching point for our new YouTube channel. So stay tuned, guys. Until then, if you're interested in pre-registering or registering for the convention, sign up now at MidwestGamingClassic.com.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
We seem to be having
technical difficulties. Please stay with us. Game Centric Radio.
Okay, so at this point, we are trying this from the phone, the actual cellular phone, logged in. So sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm glad it did not affect Scott's awesome impromptu game review. Super excited to hear about his experiences at the Midwest Gaming Classic, which we should be hearing about later this month. Going back to games we're looking forward to, and in addition to the Arkham Knight, another one for the PS4 is Until Dawn. Until Dawn is an adventure survival horror game developed by Supermassive Games, published by Sony for the PS4. Originally, it was going to be a PS3 game, and then they decided later, because they were going to use PlayStation Move with it, they later decided to reintroduce it as a PS4 exclusive instead. So we've been waiting a while for this. It seems very slasher film-esque. Follows 8 teenagers as they spend the night in a log cabin on the anniversary of the death of a friend, and they are being hunted by a crazed serial killer. So while it doesn't sound like this is necessarily going to be the most innovative story on the planet, it does seem like it's going to be an exciting game to play. And it has a lot of choice mechanics. It has what they're calling the butterfly effect interface. Players can clearly see the path of their story and the thousands that are possible, seemingly insignificant choices, as well as huge moral dilemmas that question the sense of fairness, good and evil, and potential unseen consequences. So just because of the fact that it's doing that what they're doing is actually really unique. I'm very curious to see what that's going to be like. And even if I don't play it myself, that's something I would definitely watch footage of. However, there are some that we've been waiting for a while. And depending on whether you kickstarted Read-Only Memories or not, those who kickstarted already have access. But we talked about Read-Only Memories, actually within the first probably 4 shows that we did, or at least within the first 3 months that we started doing the show. And it'll go into wide release this summer. And there's a lot of versions that are already out. In November, Read-Only Memories was nominated to the 2015 Independent Games Festival 17th Annual Awards. Read-Only Memories is a cyberpunk game that allows you to make a lot of choices about gender or lack thereof as presented throughout the game, doing something very innovative. Jumping to a whole other type of game, we have what's coming from the White Wolf Games. Mage the Ascension 20th Anniversary Edition we'll see this spring, as well as V20 Dark Ages. And this summer, Demon Storyteller's Guide and 1,000 Years of Night for Vampire the Requiem, and Mage the Awakening 2nd Edition. So a lot of bouncing back and forth between Old World of Darkness and New World of Darkness there. Another thing we'll see is V20 Ghouls, which I'm personally interested to see how that, having played V20 Vampire the Masquerade, I'm interested to see how the ghouls play in, because they nerfed so many things in the V20 Vampire the Masquerade. We're going to see V20 Dark Ages, and it's really interesting to see how that changes as well. I have an incredible list of all of the Pathfinder stuff coming out.
Technical difficulties. Please stay with us. Game Centric Radio.
I gotta pause. Come on, man, pause.
I don't have to pause. I've got the power pouch.
What? What's the power pouch?
It is. I'm gonna tell you what the power pouch is all about.
Macho Man, I thought you died.
Well, I've been to the top of the mountain, and what I saw there was the power pouch. Let me tell you something. I'm about to lay down the smackdown of no longer needing to urinate. The power pouch is here and now.
Before taking on any new physical...
Right, please note that I may take bleeding.
Some assembly required, each sold separately. Please consult your parents before going online.
That is not included.
Power Pouch!
Sorry about the technical difficulties we've been having. Hopefully that clears it up. We switched computers in hopes of some better results. And this is where I'm actually going to ask for Donnie's help because...
Okay, what am I doing?
I am...
Should I stop shaking the cat?
You should stop shaking the cat.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I find myself in my very first... This won't even at me, even you.
Okay, I'm not
doing that. Okay. I find myself in my very first Pathfinder game. And let me tell you that that is confusing, especially because I have never played Pathfinder. I've sat around people playing Pathfinder. You know, like.
So we're talking about what I'm seeing in front of me now.
Well, yeah. So what happened is, in doing my research.
I really wish you had told me about that.
Well, I'm gonna introduce it. So
okay.
Scroll.
Well, these are the
Well, in my research, I went to see, is there a new Pathfinder book coming out? And what happened, because I did that, is that I found out that there's tons of Pathfinder stuff coming
okay.
out.
Well, to be fair, what Pathfinder stuff are you talking about? Are you talking about third party? Are you talking about books that are only produced by Piazza? Are you only
Yeah, I like what I was trying to find was like, you know how
that's a dangerous book because of the open license.
Well, okay, so like I said, I've now played Pathfinder once. I've made a character, a Pathfinder character. Cyberpunk setting kind of no
yeah,
steampunk
yeah.
setting. She is an artificer.
Yeah.
And that is about what I know about Pathfinder right there because I'm the White Wolf person in the group. Hardcore. Like, I'm the Old Wad person in the group. And so I was like, well, I'll look it up to see what new stuff is coming out for Pathfinder. And I got this list that's, like, longer than my list of students, which is really saying something with the last
Okay, there. So why this is the thing that Piazza's, like, okay, we have taken 3.5. It is ours now. And everyone's like, that's great. Let's make stuff. And they did. And then Piazza's yeah, like, wow. And looks at some people like, hey, you did a really good job. Can we print this? And then they're like, of course you can print this. And then they would, then they compile everything that everyone's made and it's good. They keep it. If it's bad, they throw it away. And that's kind of what they do. And what she's looking at specifically is they're releasing a lot of comics, they're releasing a lot of merchandise. And the only book I see for the actual
technical difficulties, please stay with us. Game Centric Radio. technical difficulties. Please stay with us. Game Centric Radio. GG.